We're going to have our main Bible reading now, and it's only a short one. It is Matthew chapter 12, and I think we'll be beginning at verse 38. Anna Morris is going to come out and read that to us. Thank you, Anna.
Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they've repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here."
I really want to just say thank you as well to the young people that came on the weekend. You've been really great. It's been really encouraging for me, I think, particularly in the meetings and the devotion times, just chatting, to see how you're thinking and that you're hearing the Bible and you're thinking, yeah, but if that's true, then what about this? And then if that's true, then what about this? And you're actually processing stuff. And that's really encouraging for us to see and to engage with that. As you know, we've been looking through the book of Jonah the last, I don't know how long it is now, was it Friday night we arrived? We had the first session Saturday morning, and we've gone through the book of Jonah. We've seen what Jonah was like. We've seen he's actually not a great prophet, but he was a prophet from God, just not a very good one. We've actually seen far more about what God is like, how gracious and compassionate God is like. And so we've spent a lot of time just in the book of Jonah. Tonight, I just want to bring us back, bring us forward into the New Testament, bring us to what Jesus says. So if you've got your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 12, the passage that Anna just read for us. This is where some Pharisees and teachers come to Jesus and ask to see a sign, you know, a miracle, something to prove who he is. And he answers them, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, we talked about that yesterday, those of you that are on the weekend, that just like when Jonah got thrown overboard by his shipmates, he sank into the sea, but God appointed this fish to swallow him up. This is what, Addison, you were struggling to get. This is miraculous. It's amazing. But he was there in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And Jesus is saying, actually, I'm going to give you a better sign than that. That was pretty incredible. That's amazing that a man can fall into the sea, be swallowed by a fish, and spat out a few days later. But I'm going to give you something better. And he says, "So the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And we said, Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And on the third day, 3 days, he came back to life again. So the sign of Jonah being swallowed by a fish, pretty good. But Jesus being raised to life again, that's incredible. Then he goes on to say, the men of Nineveh, that wicked city where Jonah was sent to preach to them, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. So when Jonah gave them this message, it was only a short message, but they repented. They turned their back on their sin and turn to God for forgiveness. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jesus says, and now something greater than Jonah is here. That something greater is not just something, this is someone greater than Jonah, and that is Jesus. And throughout the gospel accounts, we'll see many ways in which Jesus is greater than Jonah. But tonight, if we can have the slide on, that'd be really helpful. I want to give us three reasons why Jesus is better than Jonah. I've said already, Jonah was not a very good prophet. We know that. He ran away from his mission. What else did he do? He eventually preached, We don't think it was a very long sermon that he preached. It may have been just a summary, but he didn't really sort of enter into it with much gusto. He wasn't that bothered. And that's shown because at the end of it, after the people of Nineveh repent, what happens? Jonah goes and sits outside the city in a bit of a huff. And he says, God, you're gracious and compassionate. Why have you been so gracious and compassionate on Nineveh? That's terrible. That's not a very good prophet. That's not someone who desires to see people saved. So we're going to look at why Jesus is better than Jonah. So firstly, Jesus is better than Jonah because Jesus didn't run away. If we have a look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, if you've got a Bible, turn to it. If you don't worry, just listen. The Bible says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And what was he like? Well, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus knew what his mission was. Jesus came down to earth. Jesus came to be amongst humanity. And Jesus ultimately died on the cross. That's not ultimate, because he then came back to life again. He then ascended into heaven. But it's not a nice thing to be put to death on a cross. It's not a nice thing to be put to death at all. But the cross was just horrible. A horrible way to die. Jesus knew that was coming. Remember, we talked over the weekends, those of you that were there, God knows everything. Someone said earlier on, God is everywhere. That's incredible. But God knows everything. Just take a moment to let that sink in, that Jesus knew what was happening to him. He knew what was coming, and yet he kept on going. He didn't turn his back on his mission. He didn't run away like Jonah did. Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Yes, it was a shameful way to die, but he scorned that, and he sat down eventually at the right hand of the throne of God. That is so amazing that he didn't run away from his mission. He actually cared enough to keep on because he knew that he would be able to save us. Just imagine for a minute if you ever have to give someone bad news. Perhaps imagine a policeman having to knock on someone's door and tell someone, I'm terribly sorry, but your son has been involved in a road accident. Or a doctor who comes to you and says, look, I'm really sorry, but it's terminal. That's a hard message to give. And yet, people like that give those messages because they're compassionate. Which would be more compassionate? To give the message and have to suffer a little bit of awkwardness or sadness? Or would it be more compassionate just to say, no, it's all right, they don't need to know? Of course they need to know. It's compassion to give that message. And Jonah had no heart of compassion at all. He knew the people in Nineveh needed salvation. He knew they were going to be destroyed. But he had no compassion. He didn't care. Jesus does care. Jesus has that heart of compassion for you and for me. And that is why Jesus is better than Jonah. And so if you are ever tempted to think that Jesus would run away from you, if you ever think that God would want to give up and think, oh, they don't need to hear about the gospel, they don't need to hear about salvation, they're not worth it, then you need to change your way of thinking. Because as we see Jesus, we see that actually he finds great joy in seeing people saved from God's judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, listen to this. He's not wanting anyone to perish. He's got that heart of compassion there, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. And that is how different Jesus is from Jonah. The second way that Jesus is better than Jonah is that Jesus offered his life for the sins that we committed. He offered his life for our sins, not his. In the book of Jonah, Jonah turns his back on his mission. He runs off, he gets on a boat, and tries to get away from God. We know God's everywhere, so it's a foolish way of trying to get away from it. And so God sends this storm on the sea. God raises up this storm like these sailors have never seen before. It's incredible. To cut a long story short, Jonah eventually says to the sailors, look, I know this storm has come because of me. It's because I've sinned against God. It's because I've turned my back on God. Throw me into the water. What was he expecting to happen as he was thrown into the water? Well, if you're thrown into the sea in the middle of a storm, if you're thrown into the sea on a calm day, you've got to be able to swim a long, long way to be able to have any chance of surviving. But in the middle of a storm, you've got no chance. He was basically saying to his shipmates, look, you need to kill me. You need to throw me overboard, and that will sort all the problems out. This will sort the storm out. Which is great. It's a lovely image of someone giving their life for their friends. Or maybe they weren't friends. Maybe they were just shipmates. But Jesus is better than that. Because Jonah offered his life because he had done wrong. Jesus told his shipmates to throw him in the sea. Jonah told his shipmates to throw him in the sea. But Jesus offers up his life. Even though he was absolutely perfect, he offered up his life on the cross for us, even though we were the ones that sinned. Some of you have had copious amounts of sweets over the weekend, seen bags and bags of them. If I was to take one of your bags of sweets and just hand them round to everyone, that would be very generous of me. But they're not mine to give. It's not generous at all, is it? When Jesus offers himself, he's offering himself as a sacrifice for us. It's entirely his to give. And it's entirely out of God's grace, Jesus' grace to us, that he does that. And because he died for us, because he gave himself as a sacrifice, that is how we are forgiven. So Jesus was absolutely sinless, and you are not. You know that. We are not. We don't even meet our own standards half the time, let alone meet God's standards. And so as we think about Jesus offering his life for our sins, maybe sometimes you think, well, was it enough? I've been pretty bad, actually. Is Jesus' sacrifice going to be enough for me to be saved? And I can tell you, absolutely guaranteed, it absolutely is enough for you, because he was the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7 talks about that sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. In the Old Testament, people used to offer sacrifices of animals to make peace with God. But the priest that would offer that sacrifice would have to offer one for his own sins first, and then offer another sacrifice for the people. But listen to this. Unlike the other high priests, he, that's Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Because Jesus offered himself, because he was perfect, because he was spotless and sinless, there's no need for any other sacrifice. There's nothing else you can do to get any more forgiveness. There's nothing else you can do to make up for the bad stuff you have done or the good stuff you haven't done. There's nothing else you can do, because Jesus' sacrifice is absolutely enough. And he's the only person that has ever been able to do that. You've got absolutely no hope of salvation, no hope of rescue from punishment, from destruction, from hell. You've got no hope at all if Jesus is not the only person who's able to save you. But I'm telling you tonight that he is absolutely good enough, and his sacrifice was absolutely perfect enough to save you. And so as we go into this week now, you will sin, we will sin, and we don't need to get down about that and depressed about that, because we know that Jesus' blood has covered all our sins. Only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was good enough. And that is good enough for all of us. It's good enough for you and me. Everyone in this room is good enough for everyone. And that should give us great joy. Jesus is far better than Jonah, because he offered his life for our sins to save us all. Jonah just saved a handful of people in a boat. He offered himself for his own sins. But Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, offered himself for our sins. And thirdly and lastly then, Jesus is better than Jonah, because Jesus rejoices to see sinners saved. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah's preached to Nineveh. They've all said, "Oh, we are wicked people." They've put sackcloth and ashes on. They've had a fast. They have repented of their sins. Remember, we said repenting is turning your back on sin and turning to God. They've repented of their sins and they've acknowledged God. That should be a time for great celebration, surely. God is gracious and compassionate. We've sung about that this weekend. He loves us. He gives us forgiveness for free. He's compassionate. He cares for us. Yet Jonah went out of the city, sat down in the desert, and grumped. He just sat there and he couldn't understand why God would want to do that for those people. But Jesus is better than Jonah, because Jesus rejoices to see sinners saved. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Jesus has just been teaching about the parable of the lost coin. Let's read the whole parable. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just over one sinner, Jesus throws a party as a celebration. The verse we read earlier, Hebrews 12, talks about how for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was that joy? Well, the joy that was set before him was to see people saved. He offered himself, he died on the cross to see people saved. That's his heart of compassion. There's nothing like Jonah. Jonah gave a half-hearted sermon to the people of Nineveh and then went and sat down in a bit of a grump. Jesus humbled himself, came down to earth. He preached, he offered himself, and it was all for the joy that was set before him. And as each of us repent and turn to him, there's a party, there's a celebration. I wonder if you ever think about God like that. Maybe you've got this impression of God that he's a bit miserable and, you know, he'd really rather you didn't become a Christian, because actually you're not that good. You're all right, but I think maybe... No, God rejoices to see people saved. He had so much joy in that. It was so worth it for him to give his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, won't be destroyed, but will have eternal life. And so, just to end with, if God rejoices at sinners being saved, if he desires that people be saved and come to know him, then we need to do at least two things. Firstly, repent. Turn your back on sin. Turn to Jesus for forgiveness. Make God happy. God will rejoice as you do that. That's such a privilege to be able to repent. God offers this forgiveness. He says, if you repent, this forgiveness is yours. It's free. Just turn to me. That's what's all he says. But secondly, firstly, we need to repent. Secondly, I think we need to tell others about that salvation that Jesus offers. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. Some of you, maybe at different stages in your walk with Christ, some of you might not believe any of it whatsoever. Some of you, maybe even just this weekend, maybe tonight, are just thinking, actually, yeah, I do believe this. That's amazing that God would do this for me, that Jesus loves me this much, that he would be prepared to die for me. Maybe you've got no interest at all. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time. But each of us should be able to look at what God has done for us, to look at what Jesus has done for us, and we should be able to respond. And one of the responses we give is to tell other people. Have you ever had good news before? Maybe for some of you, it's the, you know, you've had a new baby in the family and you just want to tell everyone. If you're your grandparents, maybe you have experienced that. Parents, you may have experienced that as well. Maybe it's just something simple. You got a new iPhone. Let's tell everyone. I've got a new iPhone. It's amazing. When we have good news, we want to share it. The good news is that we have been forgiven if we trust in Jesus. Let's share that. And each of us will have different ways of doing it. Each of us are put in different places. You may be in a different school. You may be in different workplaces. Yeah, we're all from different families. There's all different places that God has put us, and different people that we know that we can tell other people about how good it is that God has saved us. Even if we get a little bit nervous talking about it, it is a great joy to be able to tell others about Jesus. So whether you've been a Christian a long time or whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, just tell someone else about Jesus. Tell someone about what God has done for you. There's great joy in that. If God rejoices that you've been saved, then let's all rejoice. Tell someone else. Let's rejoice together. Let's celebrate. Maybe some of us are a bit older. Some of us have been Christians a bit longer. I want to challenge you, challenge me tonight, that if God rejoices in seeing people saved, if God rejoices that people become more and more like Jesus, then let's not get cynical about what God does in people's lives. As we see God working, as we are on the lookout for what God is doing in changing people to become more like Jesus, let's rejoice in that. Let's actively look for ways that God is working in each other. The Bible talks about if we're a Christian, it says that we're a new creation. And just like you cast your mind back to Genesis, God created everything. He said it was good, it was good, it was good. He created people and he said it's very good. As we're that new creation, Jesus looks at us, celebrates and says that is very good. Not even very good, very, very good, let's say. And if God is willing to say that about us as new creations, then what are we? How are we treating each other? How are we looking at these new creations all around us? So what are you saying about your fellow Christians? Are you looking for the very good in people? This isn't just a positive thinking. This is the way God thinks, that he looks at us. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He's using his Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. And that should be an encouragement to us, to each other, as we see that in each other. So Jesus is better than Jonah, far better than Jonah, because he didn't run away from his mission. He offered his life for our sins, and he rejoices in sinners being saved. There's nothing greater that you could celebrate than sinners being saved. Let's pray together, then we're going to sing and close. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to this world. We thank you for sending Jonah. He has taught us a lot this last couple of days, and yet some of that in a negative way. We thank you that the people of Nineveh were able to repent and 120,000 were saved. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus, that many countless millions have been saved because they've turned to him. And Lord, as we think about ourselves, as we stand before you and think of the salvation that you offer, Lord, help us to repent. Help us to repent day by day, to turn our back on sin, to turn our back on the sinful decisions and choices that we would make, and help us to turn to you. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is better than anything that we could ever put in place of him. He's the only sacrifice that is enough for us. And as we go into this week, would you help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we thank you for this weekend again. We thank you for the time we spent with each other. I pray that you would help us now to meditate on your word, to think about what it means to us, and to respond. Lord, I pray that even today we would be able to celebrate because you've been saving sinners. Amen.